Are live. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Checkpoint, episode 42 on this wonderful Thanksgiving day.
Blue 42.
James, happy birthday. I mean, happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I'm really tired. Usually we record this show at 6 p.m. on Thursdays, but today we're recording it at 10 a.m. on Thursday because of Thanksgiving and all that kind of good stuff. Video is still going to be live tomorrow on YouTube on Friday at 9 a.m. So if you're watching this then, that's awesome. It's going to be a great day. We got a lot of cool stuff. It's going to be a shorter episode for sure, but it's going to be great. So James,
it's going to be a good time.
How you been? What you been playing? This week's been great for gaming for me.
Ooh, baby.
Because just get into it. Play everything. Lay it all on the table. Yeah.
All right. All right. First of all, first thing I did this week is I restarted Demon Souls because I didn't like the running animation that my first guy had.
How many hours in were you?
With another exact same build and everything.
How many hours in were you on your first playthrough?
I think I was about like 6 to 8 hours. Or I was like two bosses in.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then so I went three bosses in on my second character. And now my buddy's saying that if you do like a magician build, like a magic build,
yeah,
it's just super OP.
Okay.
So I might restart again with a magic character. But that's just the way Demon Souls and Dark Souls games are.
Okay.
Right. You just keep restarting the game. You play it over and over again.
But you're enjoying
the core gameplay loop in that game is just like the minute to minute what you're doing, killing enemies, it's so satisfying and it's so fun to do. So it really keeps me in there. Finished Spider-Man. Credits rolled last night.
Wow. This is Spider-Man ending. Spider-Man remastered on the PS5.
Spider-Man remastered.
Yeah, okay. Cool.
I was thinking this to myself last night. I was like, you know, if someone told me that Insomniac built this up ground up as a PS5 game, I would 100% believe them.
I mean, that was like, it already looked great on the PS4.
It really was pushing the PS4 hardware. And being able to see it run in all of its... And I play Spider-Man strictly on performance mode because I really can't go... And the difference isn't noticeable enough to me to justify going down to fidelity mode. And it just, like, seeing everything in 60 frames per second just brings it to life much more.
Okay.
And then if you do a second... So you're doing going to do your second playthrough on Miles Morales in performance mode, right?
I'm going to try it, but honestly, I have no complaints with 30 frames per second for Spider-Man right now on fidelity
mode. You will once you go to performance mode. It is a night and day difference.
Like, it's feeling so good right now on fidelity. I feel like...
Oh, dude, it's going to...
Yeah. So...
Just take my word for it.
Last week on the podcast on Thursday, I said I was going to start Miles Morales on the PS5 right after the show. And I did. It took me 4 days and I beat the game. And now I have 100%ed the entire map. I am now starting my playthrough of New Game Plus to get the Platinum Trophy, which I haven't started yet. But damn, dude, Miles Morales is so good. It's really good.
I don't know if it's better than the original game.
I don't think it is.
But it's good.
It's not. Because...
Go ahead.
No, it's good. You can go for it. Well, I mean, we'll have a whole video conversation about this coming
up.
We're recording that Sunday.
I will say this right now. Going from... PlayStation 5, Marvel Spider-Man Remastered, back-to-back with Miles Morales.
Yeah.
It feels a little off.
Interesting.
I don't know why, but it's always that feeling I get when I feel like the little standalone DLC is just always a little bit off compared to the like main game. I think I liked the overall design of a lot of the UI and stuff like that better in Spider-Man PS5. It's a little more minimalistic. It's less... I'm not huge into like all the stylized little things in it. I think the combat felt a little smoother. One of my main gripes right now is that the Miles Morales, the web strike attack, the triangle, is always the same starter animation.
Sure.
But in which Miles Morales jumps and he hits through the legs.
Hits your legs. Oh, yeah.
It's the same thing every time.
But
and maybe it's the same thing on Spider-Man PS5 as well, but it's a less distinctive animation, so it bothers me less that it happens over and over again.
I think I know what you mean, because I played the DLC for Spider-Man PS4 or Spider-Man mm-hmm. PS4. I played that very like in the last 2 months. I played that mm-hmm. on the PS4. So coming here, there is a difference for sure, but it feels like a good difference. Like, as the more you play it and the more you chain these attacks together and the swinging, right. I love the new swinging animations and stuff. It feels more natural. I do too. But I mean, we'll get into it on our Spider-Man Miles Morales video more too, but I overall like it, and I think most of the changes are good. As for the UI, I like the darker UI more than the blue UI that Spider-Man.
One thing I really like, yeah. just real quick before we get into like other stuff. Mm-hmm. When Miles Morales interacts with his environment, you see Miles Morales like picking stuff up. So like if he picks up like a picture of his family, yeah. like the beginning part of it, like, and you're turning around, it's not like in Spider-Man PS4, it would just like levitate and you would be able to spin around within the yep. camera view, where in this time it's in Miles's hand and he's like turning it over.
Very Naughty Dog. I think
that's really cool.
They do that in
it is very Naughty Dog. Naughty Dog. I'll give it that.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
I just thought of an exception. When you were saying that the mm-hmm. DLC things, like the DLC spin-off game, kind of like feels a little different and not in a necessarily good way sometimes. The only mm-hmm. thing I would push back on is Lost Legacy for Uncharted.
I never played that.
I think Lost Legacy is like one of the most solid Uncharted games, even though it's like really? A side thing. Yeah, just because like wow. they honed it down. It's a shorter game and it's just like beat by beat. Everything feels great. It's like, because it was after Uncharted 4 came out. So mm-hmm. it was like even a little bit more refined. I was like, this is good. This is really good. Even though cool. the story's not necessarily as good. But
I'm going to play more of it today.
Yeah. Good call. Good call. It's going to be great. I can't wait mm-hmm. to make this video. I got to record gameplay for that this week as well.
Yeah.
I'll get to it. Okay. Let's get into the news, baby. For all you in chat, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for being here. Mm-hmm. James, hit me with this first one.
CD Projekt Red dev has played 175 hours of Cyberpunk 2077 and still hasn't finished it. Now, this article starts off with a name, a quality assurance lead at CD Projekt Red, who I'm probably going to butcher.
That's right.
But we're just going to go for it anyway. It's Lucas Babiel, and he posted a screenshot on Twitter of his total playtime over the weekend. According to the figures shared, Babiel, who started Cyberpunk 2077 as a nomad, has put in a little more than 175 hours and still hasn't seen the credits roll.
Insane.
Vin.
Yeah.
However, when asked about his total playtime, Babiel said he's taking his time looting and seeing everything the game has to offer, all while playing on the hardest difficulty.
Sure.
So there's a lot of different factors here that are playing a big part in this.
Yeah.
There's the fact that he's going around, he's been doing the completionist run. He's mm-hmm. going for everything that there is to see and hear in Night City.
Yep.
He is probably having to play through a lot of these combat encounters multiple times because of the fact that he's on the hardest difficulty.
Yeah.
And he's doing it all. He's doing the whole hardcore gamer experience.
What do you plan on playing this on a harder difficulty? I think I'm just going to play it on normal or whatever the recommended difficulty is.
I always like touch it up like the one above normal to just have that little sense of like, I'm not a normie.
Yeah.
How okay. dare you put me in that box?
Okay. But, fair enough. But also he says he's seeing everything the game has to offer, right? I feel like that's right. what I want to be doing in Cyberpunk. So, like, I could see this taking me a long time.
I don't think this is going to be the sort... It might be the sort of game where it's less about... I feel like there's two ways to go about this. And I think this also applies to a lot of big RPGs that we've seen previously. One in particular being Skyrim.
Yeah.
It's like... And I hate to be the guy who compares every RPG to Skyrim.
Sure.
But in Skyrim, you could either play it where like you try and experience everything, find everything in the world has to offer, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Or a lot of people go through and make multiple playthroughs, like, oh, I'm going to play a Nord, like magician, whatever, or mage, and I'm going to go through and I'm going to go Imperial.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do that. I'm going to have this run of the game. And then I'm going to have this run of the game where I do like yeah. something else, right? And so I think Cyberpunk might be able to be something like that as well. As I've heard, it's a big hardcore RPG, and a lot of more hardcore RPGs
yeah.
are multiple playthrough sort of things. So you could have multiple experiences. You could have one corpo, you could have one nomad, you could have one street kid.
But do you think this is on? I think he's talking about...
No, this is all on one character.
On one nomad character.
This is all on one nomad character.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I'm just saying, like, you could play it that way and have multiple, like, 30, 40, 50-hour playthroughs.
Yeah.
Or you could have, like, 175, 200-hour playthrough where you really do go through... I don't think there's one right way to play this game. Right.
I think I'm going to be diving into like one character as fully as I possibly can with everything. Like everything I can.
I'm going to try and like role play.
Dude, I'm telling you right now, here's how it's going to go. Here's me or V, you know what I mean? V's the character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go corporate, 100%, starting off corporate.
Corporate right? Scum.
Corpo. And then it's going to be my slow change into a full samurai. I will have all of the samurai outfit. It will be this weird total shift, but it's gonna be so
going to
awesome.
Business meetings in a kimono
and a katana. I'm gonna have my hair up in a bun. I'll have the scraggly beard, the complete like seven samurai. Like,
it's chat, is this
awesome.
Cultural appropriation?
Yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry, chat. It's gonna be awesome though.
CD Projekt Red has previously stated that Cyberpunk 2077 will be shorter than The Witcher 3, which takes anywhere between 50 and 190 hours to finish.
Just a little bit of time. Just a small
game. It is a little bit of time. Vin, my plan right now is to kind of do the same thing you're doing, except I want to restrict myself from feeling that completionist mentality and try and go through as organically as possible.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to be hunting that platinum or anything from the beginning. There's no, like, right. My mind is not even set on that. My mind is just play the game how I want to play the game. We'll see how far I get on trophies after I finish the game or, you know, that kind of thing.
Right. Cool.
God, I can't
And then
wait.
Side note that I want to point out just before we stop talking about Cyberpunk is it copies of the game are in the wild, so it's good to be wary of spoilers.
Yep. 100%. Yeah, you got to be careful. What was I going to say? Oh yeah. Okay. I was talking to someone who likes video games, likes playing them, but isn't like super, what's the word? Like not super into like all the news and like knowing, like keeping up on things and everything. So he was asking me about Cyberpunk. Okay. And he was like, are you excited for Cyberpunk? Like I've heard this game like a lot of times. I was like, I'm very excited for Cyberpunk. And like, he didn't get like exactly what it was. He thought it was just like a first person shooter, like Call of Duty. Because he hasn't seen much about it. Like, he thinks it's just,
interesting.
Like a kill zone, almost. Like, that's what he thinks it is. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, this is a lot deeper than that. This is, like, a full-fledged, like, role-playing game. You are this character. You're not, I guess, leveling up, making upgrades, crafting weapons.
It's
like,
an RPG.
It's a full RPG. They're like, oh, that sounds way cooler than just shooting things first person. Because I think that from some of the gameplay they've shown of just the first person stuff, if you're not paying attention and watching all the videos and stuff, I guess it could kind of seem like that. So I have a feeling that a lot of people don't really know what this game is. That obviously we know, and everybody that's excited about the game knows, but if you're just like if you're just looking at this from a certain, not an interested perspective, you might think this game is completely different than what it is. I don't know. Just a thought that I had yesterday while talking to this
guy. Worried that a lot of people are going to be disappointed when they realize that this game has a lot less combat than they actually... Right. I mean, you can play it that way. And Cyberpunk has said, like, if you want to play Guns Blazing, dude, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to be forthright, go through corridors, killing enemies, like, left and right.
Yeah. Dude, 2 more weeks, James.
That's insane. It doesn't feel real.
Like, next week, we'll be talking about we're 1 week away from Cyberpunk. And then in 2 weeks, we'll actually have Cyberpunk downloaded on our machines.
No, it's not, because it's going to get delayed again.
James, it's not going to get delayed again.
I'm kidding.
There was an investor call yesterday. There really was. I was reading about this and they confirmed. They said December 10th is actually happening. 2 weeks away, 14 days, baby.
I'm worried about how long it's going to take for the next gen version to fully release.
I'm going to guess mid-2021.
Mid-2021.
My guess is we won't get it until after we finish the game. And they said multiplayer's coming 2022. Like, they're not rushing on it. They don't. I think it looks fine on PS5. They did a PS5, PS4 gameplay trailer this week also. We already talked about the Xbox one, so I don't feel like we needed to add it to this doc. But it looks great on PS4 and
PS5.
Here's
a question.
Yeah.
Was it in 60 frames?
they didn't show it. They didn't specify.
They didn't show the frame counter. F.
Classy brings up a good point in chat. He says, will 2022 even happen? Great question. We got to get through 2020 first. Got to get through here first. But next up, do you have anything else to say about Cyberpunk? I have nothing.
Nope.
Red Dead Online is coming as a standalone game on December 1st. Red Dead Online, the vibrant, ever-evolving world where you can take on a range of unique roles and pursuits to blaze your own outlaw trail across the American frontier, will be available to purchase as a standalone game from the PlayStation Store, Microsoft Store, Rockstar Games Launcher, Epic Games Store, and Steam on December 1st, which is in 3 days, 4 days.
Wow.
So, real quick, James, you didn't finish Red Dead. You weren't very into it.
Absolutely not.
You couldn't do it. You couldn't push through. No. Did you even touch online?
I touched a little bit.
Okay. I liked online a lot. I just felt like there was nothing keeping me to play there. And also, when we were at college, the Wi-Fi, it needs an open NAT type to play that game for some reason.
College just didn't supply it.
College has a closed NAT type, so you're limited on some of the online games you can connect to. And this is on PC, PlayStation, all that kind of stuff. It's very weird. So I couldn't really get into it as much as I wanted to get into it, but it was cool. There wasn't a lot of content at first, but they have a lot more content now that seems like exactly what I want. Like on Red Dead, live my Western fantasy. You know what I mean? Like, oh God, super sick. So for the first time, new players who do not already own Red Dead 2 can experience everything Red Dead Online has to offer, including access to all future content updates. Forge your own path across 5 unique specialist roles. These include apprehending everyone from low-level criminals to notorious gangs as a bounty hunter, learning the secrets of the animal kingdom as a naturalist, or hunting wildlife as a means for source materials as a trader, searching for exotic treasures as a collector, or even running your underground moonshine distillery.
Then I just had a thought pop in my mind, and it's almost completely unrelated, but okay, it is incredibly related.
Okay.
I think the perfect Star Wars game would be one where you're a Mandalorian and it's just Red Dead 2, but like the same build as Red Dead 2, but you're a Mandalorian bounty hunter. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Well, I mean, the Mandalorian is a Western. That's how they wrote it. They wrote it as a Western.
And I think it would absolutely work as a video game.
Huh. Huh.
I think that's my ideal Star Wars game.
Wow. James, pitch it. Can we go to can we pitch a game to EA right now? Yeah, EA still has the Star Wars license. Someone get us on a call. All right. So showdown modes, free roam missions, daily challenges, and much, much more will be available. Red Dead Online will be available from the place. Oh, we already said the stores at an introductory offer of $4.99, which is 75% off the regular price until February 15th, 2021. So it'll be $5 till February, which is not bad, actually. I mean, that game is, even for online, for $5, even if you just play like a little bit of it, you're getting your money's worth. It's pretty damn cool. Please note that PlayStation Plus or Xbox Live Gold are required to play. The PlayStation 4 and Xbox One versions of Red Dead Online will be playable via backwards compatibility on PlayStation 5 or Xbox Series X hardware. The cool thing is about this is that we'll probably see like an influx of new players, which might make me want to like play it a little bit more, because right now on Red Dead Online, it's just toxic players at the top and they're just killing the bottom feeders, and that's how it goes. Yeah. It's very... Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Circle of life.
It's fun though. It's cool. But that's it. So Red Dead Online. Maybe I'll try to get back into it.
I'm not gonna jump back in.
I might. I love Red Dead. I think Red Dead 2 is on my top games of the last generation. Maybe in the top 5 games of the last generation. Not of all time.
I kind
of
want to jump back in. If it's running at 60 frames on current hardware.
Is it?
If it got the game boost.
Well, it.
I'll play it again.
James, it's so good. Red Dead 2 is so freaking good. Gosh, it's the best. What else was I going to say? I was going to say something else about it. Right over my head. What's next?
That's okay.
Damn it.
So there's a rumor for a patent. And this patent is for PlayStation VR for PS5.
That's right.
Very interesting. So Nibelian on Twitter tweeted out this article about it. Here's the full article. I looked at the article. Mm-hmm. Whole thing's in German.
Why?
no idea. I don't know if Nibelian is German. I don't know if he can read German. I don't know if he put the whole page through Google Translate.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to go off of what Nibelian summarized because I couldn't read a damn thing.
Okay, fair enough.
So first thing in the patent was haptic feedback. And you would think this is in the controllers, but in the patent, haptic feedback was in the front of the mounted display.
Can you imagine getting shot in VR and the whole headset like knocks your head back over and over?
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, how does this work?
It has little like triggers in there that like punch your head where you get shot. God, that'd be weird.
People getting concussions left and right because of their haptic feedback and their headsets.
Yeah.
LED lining and sensors that indicate whether or not the headset is worn properly.
Okay.
Which is interesting, especially because I feel like there's not a whole lot of room for error in terms of VR headsets. So I'm wondering, so I'm wondering how exactly that would work.
Yeah.
Also seen are two different headset models, VR/AR glasses, which kind of just look like a pair of like Oakley baseball dad shades.
That's VR? Well as,
yeah, VR, AR glasses. James,
are you telling me Google Glass is making a return?
I'm
because that's all
patent.
I want.
It's a patent. It's
that's
a
all I want. I just want like a little like paper thin, James. Paper thin. It's a little sticker like of technology that you just paste right here on my glasses and it just Google Glasses my glasses. And then I'm like, I'm in the world. It's full sword art.
In the world.
Like I can just lay down and then like go like this and then I'm out and I'm in a new world. Or you're walking around, you know, and it's like I need directions and I don't want to look at my phone. So I just and then it's like, give me directions to blah, blah, blah. And then they're right in front of me the whole time.
It's like in the movie Her.
Oh, masterpiece. That movie's 10 out of 10. If you haven't seen Her, you got to watch Her.
So good. And in addition to that, there's also a more traditional PSVR 1.0-esque headset, which is probably the one that's going to release.
So PSVR. Is there a future in PSVR?
But also, what's his face? The CEO of PlayStation said it wouldn't be for a while.
Well, I mean, I assume it wouldn't be for a while because they came out with that dongle for the PSVR.
Right.
For the PS5. So they have like, I don't know. I don't know, dog. I don't know. I still want to play Iron Man VR, okay?
I just want my Quest 2.
Yeah.
Still want my Quest 2. Because my main issue with PlayStation VR was the wires and the tracking.
Okay.
There was hella wires.
Yeah.
And the tracking was based off the PlayStation camera, which isn't very good for small spaces.
Yeah, and you still have to use that PlayStation 4 camera with the... So yep. Stupid. Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know why they don't. Yeah. Who knows?
I don't know.
VR. I think it's going to be big in the future, but that future is not now.
Maybe with the VR AR glasses, it'll be big. But
that's what I'm talking about. That gets me way more excited than a whole new headset. With haptic feedback. Mm-hmm. Concussive haptic feedback.
Concussive haptic feedback.
Yeah, for real.
Salt loves his Quest 2.
Gosh, I guess I just got to try it out. I got to try out more VRs. I've only tried out PlayStation VR, and maybe that's it. I don't think I've tried out any others. So I have no frame of reference for what other ones are like. Mm-hmm. No, that's a lie. Whatever one that Rick and Morty game is on, maybe that's an Oculus. I played that Rick and Morty game at like a Best Buy or some crap. I don't know. Forget it. Anyways. Okay.
I think it's multi-platform.
It probably is. I don't know. Who knows? All right. A heap of new details on Amazon's Lord of the Rings MMO have been revealed. Now, from this headline, I'm very scared. I know Amazon is developing the Lord of the Rings series.
And it's not looking good.
No, the show's looking great. It has the biggest budget of any TV show ever made. There's no footage. There's a little bit of casting out, and I'm totally cool with the casting. There's no story out. I don't know when it takes place, but I'm down for the show. But the problem is this Amazon's MMO. Have Amazon ever made a game? A good game? Crucible? We just talked about Crucible, the game that they recalled and said, yeah, we're done. It was a good try, but we're done. They just gave up on Crucible. Are they going to give up on Amazon?
There's that open world RPG game that they're working on, right?
I think that's this. It must be this.
No, there's another one. New World.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that.
this next year.
Of course it is, but do we have anything on it?
Sorry, I have a few hands-on demos, reactions. They're just mixed reviews.
Okay. It's just people being mad at Amazon. Nobody's really played the game yet. That's what I'm hearing.
People have played the game. They have hands-on.
Of New World?
Yeah.
Damn, I gotta look into that. Right. Okay. As part of the... Oh, this comes from GameSpot, by the way. As part of the acquisition of Leo by gaming giant Tencent, a number of documents relating to Liu's collaboration with Amazon on Lord of the Rings MMO have been made public. The documents reveal some juicy new details about a project which, thus far, has been quite secretive. The documents include a licensing agreement for the Tolkien property, which makes mention of Lord of the Rings Online, an existing MMO that Amazon's product will launch in direct competition with. The licensing agreement shows Leo's agreeing to pay over $8 million simply to secure the license for the Middle-earth game.
It's a lot of dough.
Did you ever play Lord of the Rings Online?
No.
I used to play it on my Mac a long time ago, just like barely chugging that thing on potato graphics. Had a pretty good time with it for a little while, and then it was like, yeah.
You're like, no, for me.
This is not for me. That was one of those games you would know life in a basement. Like, and that's like it. That would be all you play.
Yeah.
And I realized I could never get to that point as this 13-year-old on my 2011 MacBook Pro. So, yeah. Okay, yep. So the documents also included a co-development agreement with Amazon, which involves the broader e-commerce company rather than specifying the gaming-specific Amazon Studios branch, which leads me to believe that I don't think Amazon is the only company working on this game. Like, what this whole article is saying is that Amazon owns a big chunk of this Lord of the Rings property right now because of the show. Mm-hmm. So they will work in collaboration with another company that will basically head develop it, but Amazon's gonna back money for that. That's kind of what I'm getting off all this.
They're giving them Bezos bucks.
An amendment to the licensing agreement also includes a production schedule, which shows a rough timeline for the game, though notably the amendment was made prior to COVID-19, meaning the schedule may have changed since. It points to a January 11th, 2021 as a due date for a draft of complete game lore and narrative. So that's telling me that like by January 2021, which is in 3 months, they need a full outline of the game. What's the story? What's going to be told? Like the written thing is done, right? And then a playable prototype is due in June 2021. So that's crazy. You have to have it written by January. That's 6 months later, you have to have a playable game.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yikes. It's clearly still early for the game's development, with the public likely not to get their hands on it until an open beta in September 2022 or an open beta in January 2023. So we're years out from this game. This is early stuff.
This is very early.
This schedule's for the PC, which has a subheading for a PS4 and Xbox One launch, both saying that the aim is to have the content complete and playable within 6 months of the PC open beta and a full launch within 12 months of the beta. There's no mention of PS5 or Xbox Series S, but I'm assuming because these are documents from a couple months ago. So it's no surprise that there's such a wait still to go on this game. MMOs are big undertaking to make, and Amazon is no doubt hoping to drum up hype for the Middle-earth themed game with its similarly large Lord of the Rings TV show in the works. So, Dude, can you imagine the show launching and then like halfway through the season or right when the season ends, they're like, you can continue your journey on Lord of the Rings. Like, this thing is a huge marketing dealio. That would be badass.
Do you think it would be at the end, or do you think it would be like at the beginning?
Probably at the beginning, actually. It makes more sense.
That's what I would
think. I'm all in with Lord of the Rings games. All in. Like,
really?
Yes. There was
the last good one was Battle for Middle Earth
on the PS2.
Uh huh.
It's amazing. Amazing.
Unless game. You were like one of the only 7 people who liked Lord of the Rings Conquest, because I love Lord of the Rings Conquest.
I don't think I ever played Lord of the Rings Conquest.
It's like Star Wars Battlefront, but Lord of the Rings.
Really?
Yeah, it was kind of. I liked
Where
it.
Where did you play it on? Fun.
PS2.
Damn, that sounds really cool, actually. I might have to look into this. But I just love Lord of the Rings, so I'm kind of in whatever it is.
Yeah.
I just don't want the MMO to be like Lord of the Rings Online. Like, it needs to be significantly different than that for me to be interested.
I'm just not a huge MMO guy.
I don't like over-the-head MMO games. Like, I'll take a third person MMO game or something like that.
Sure.
That's a lot different. Yeah, I don't know.
We'll see how it turns out.
We'll see how it turns out. We will see how it turns out. Okay, next up, Golden Joystick Awards.
Tell me about it.
All right, here it is. I would say the Golden Joystick Awards are like probably the... If the Game Awards are the award show for video games...
Which they are.
Golden Joystick's like a tier below that. I would say the Golden Joystick is like the Golden Globes... And the Game Awards is like the Oscars. So very respectable still, but not as big. So the award ceremony of the Golden Joystick Awards has just concluded, and the winners have been announced. They did like a live stream for this. I did not watch it. I actually didn't even know it was happening. I didn't see any press for this or any advertisement for it at all. The most publicly voted award gave its Game of the Year nod to The Last of Us Part 2, while the new God of War Ragnarok was voted as the most anticipated future game. Yeah, The Last of Us 2 led in wins, winning Best Storytelling, Best Visual Design, Best Audio, PlayStation Game of the Year, and Ultimate Game of the Year. Basically
all of the big awards.
Fall Guys came in second place with the number of wins, with Best Multiplayer Game, Best Family Game, and a Breakthrough Award. I tried Googling what the Breakthrough Award was, and I have absolutely no idea. I think that's like Best New Game. I guess that's kind of what I'm thinking it is. Hades came in third place with the most wins, with Critics' Choice Award and Best Indie Game. I guess as to be expected.
Yeah.
So
Hades is incredible, so I hear.
God, I gotta play it.
I gotta play it too.
$20 on Epic Games, dude. Do I do $20 on that or $20 on Dead Avengers? Was I really about to buy Avengers tonight?
Hades, it's a better game.
Is Hades on Black Friday sale? Dude, Black Friday sales tonight start like they start at like 9 p.m. on some of these online retailers. I might have to look around. We'll see. But pretty cool. Last of Us wins quite a bit. I think we're going to see Last of Us 2 winning quite a bit more at the Game Awards.
I am about 4 hours into Last of Us Part 2.
Hell yeah, you are.
I am with Ellie and Dina in the middle of the city.
Cool. You're in Seattle. Is it that slightly open world part where you can go to all those buildings?
They're trying to find Tommy right now.
Tommy. Yeah, good old Tommy. All right. Yep.
It's a little like the city to city stuff is a little boring.
I think that in The Lost Legacy they had this huge open world part and they're trying to replicate that with Seattle, but the difference is in Uncharted you have all this verticality and there's no verticality in The Last of Us, so I don't know if it necessarily works, but it's great for character building. Like, you'll learn a lot about the characters just with through dialogue. But other than that, you're totally right. It's boring.
Yeah. Next up, PlayStation 5 is the biggest console launch in history. Huge. The PlayStation 5 has outsold its predecessor. So, the distinction.
Yes.
When I first read this article, it said the PlayStation 5 has outsold its predecessor within the first 2 weeks of release. Which I thought, wait, the PS5 completely outsold the PS4. Not negative. The case.
No.
It just outsold the PS4 in its launch window.
Sure.
So the PS5's launch window compared to the PS4 launch window, as of right now, the PS5 completely blew it out of the water.
Yep.
Or, I don't know about that, but it's definitely outsold.
Yep.
A few quotes from PlayStation. We want to thank gamers everywhere for making the PS5 launch our biggest console launch ever. Demand for the PS5 is unprecedented, so we want to confirm that more PS5 inventory will be coming to retailers before the end of the year. Please stay in touch with your local retailers. So that also means if you haven't gotten a PS5 yet and you've been waiting, you've been trying to get one, but the scalpers just keep beating you to it, have hope.
It's going to happen.
Sony expects its next-gen console to outperform its predecessor by the end of the current fiscal year, in which the PS4 sold 7.6 million units during the comparable period. Microsoft has also fared well, announcing earlier this month that the Xbox Series S and X were also the biggest launch in Xbox history.
That's not saying much, James. That's not saying much at all for Xbox.
Have they not had big launches?
Not last launch. Xbox 360. Yeah. I thought Xbox 360 launch was bigger than like this.
I thought so
current
too.
One, right?
I thought so too. But apparently, it's the biggest.
That's crazy. Actually, it makes sense. It makes sense. I
also think there's just more gamers now than there were ever before.
Yep. I would agree.
Or people who are playing games, you know?
So you're telling me that the PlayStation 4 has been out for 7 years now? Seven years. And it sold 112 million units. But in the first year, it only sold 7.6 million units? Isn't that...
I believe so.
Wouldn't you...
In the first fiscal year.
Which is, like, from launch to a year after that. Or something like that.
Something like that.
It seems weird that it only sold, like, 10 million units in the first year. And then the next 6 years, it sold...
I think it's because there was hardly any games within that first year.
Yeah, that could be right.
You know what I mean? I mean, you really were... You had Battlefield, Killzone, NBA, 2K. That's
about it.
And a few others in that first year that were just not system sellers.
Who made Killzone? No Guerrilla?
Yeah. And then they went on Horizon.
Yeah.
Which came out a year or two within the PlayStation 5 cycle.
PlayStation 4 cycle. Yeah.
That's what I meant to say.
Wild. Sorry. Wild. We have a much bigger launch lineup now. I cannot find enough time to play these games. Why did I buy Valhalla?
I don't know why you bought Valhalla.
Cyberpunk comes out in 2 weeks.
Yep.
I barely scratched the surface about Valhalla. I don't even know what the game's about yet. I played 4 hours of the game. I couldn't tell you what's going on. It's so freaking huge.
Yeah.
Wild.
What a time to be a gamer, Vin.
What a time to be a gamer. I got Ghost of Tsushima literally downloaded. I won't start that until next year after Cyberpunk.
You're insane.
I can't wait to play it, though. I'm very excited for Ghost.
It's the best Assassin's Creed game.
Shit. Why am I even playing Valhalla? What's going on?
No.
Who knows? Okay, there it is. PlayStation 5.
All right.
Biggest launch. Yeah. Okay. Continuing the PS5, we have another system software update. Thank God. The system software update improves system performance. Blah, blah, blah. An issue where installed disc versions of games were sometimes deleted was resolved. Okay, great. Fantastic. Haven't run into these problems. But here's a problem I did run into. An issue that prevented the PS5's wireless controller from being charged while in rest mode when connected to the PS5's front side USB Type-A port using the USB included with the PS5 consoles, and it was resolved. James, I've been testing this tonight. I charged it. I haven't tested it yet. So, like, it was plugged in all night on rest mode. We will see if the controller is charged. So I will let you know. But thank God, because I couldn't get this to charge. I had to leave it plugged in to play games.
Why don't you charge it in the back ports?
It worked. That worked. But that was after I had already... Like, I didn't know that until recently. So, like...
Sure.
For a while, I was doing it. But that's all.
Wow. I think is this the one that woke me up in the middle of the morning?
No, that was the last update that nobody knows what it was for, so.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Right. I have no idea when this software update, I just slept through it. Because it turned itself on to install it.
Yeah.
And then it put itself back into rest mode.
That'll happen. That'll do it.
She's independent.
Sure. She can do what she wants.
Yeah. Next up, Cuphead, the delicious last course, delayed to next year.
F.
I didn't even know there was a second Cuphead game coming out until I read this tweet.
Me neither.
In the wake of the ongoing global pandemic affecting so many, we have made the difficult decision to push back the release of the delicious last course for our wonderful Cuphead community. We prepared a letter from Studio MDHR founders Chad and Jared Ollenhauer to share more.
Good old Chad. I
don't have the letter up.
Well, that's okay. It was delayed till next year. That's the only thing the letter gave.
It's delayed till next year. That's the big point.
Right. I just want to play this in my Tesla when I get a Tesla one day. I don't want to.
Every time I think of fucking Cuphead.
Yeah. There's no reason to play Tesla. There's no reason to play it right now when in my dreams, James, one day when you get a Cybertruck, okay, then I can hop in your Cybertruck.
I still have my $100 down.
Yep. We'll jump in your Cybertruck and we'll play Cuphead on the display in the middle, okay? But until then, I won't touch it. Won't touch it.
Yeah. Here's the letter. It says, while Delicious Last Course is a continuation of Cuphead and Mugman's grand adventure, it's also a conclusion to the story that began on that fateful day at the Devil's Casino. In true Studio MDHR fashion, we aren't content for this final chapter to be anything less than our best work. Throughout development, we've challenged ourselves to put everything we learned from making Cuphead into the quality of the Delicious Last Course's animation, design, and music, all of which are hallmarks of the series, might I add. Cool. Meeting this standard has been extremely challenging for us amid the global pandemic that has affected so many of our fellow developers. Rather than compromise our vision in response to COVID, we've made the difficult decision to push back the release of The Delicious Last Course until we are confident it will delight the Cuphead community the way we feel it should.
Sweet.
We know many of you have been waiting to return to the Inkwell Isles, and our goal is to make the trip back there next year a truly magical one. With our warmest regards, Chad and Jared Moldenhauer.
They really wordsmithed that one. I'm not going to lie.
It was great.
Yeah. They did a lot of... This is me on, like, Google synonyms. Like, oh, what's a cinnamon that rhymes with this so I can so I can make it sound fancy? They really did that with that letter. Mm-hmm. But it was nice. Was
great.
Great. Again, can't wait to play it on my Tesla.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for random fun stuff.
Woo,
woo, woo. James, hit me with the first random fun stuff. Let's go. I still need a graphic. Games. I still need a graphic for this dang thing.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get there.
Class, you're right. I need to hire an intern for that. Make me graphics. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. December PS Plus games. Worms Rumble, Just Cause 4, and Rocket Arena.
Next up, we have Xbox Games with Gold announced, The Raven Remastered, Bleed 2, Saints Row, Gat Out of Hell, and Stacking. I don't know what Stacking is.
Or the Raven. Those games.
Or Bleed 2. I used to play the Worms games on PS, like PS2.
Mm-hmm. So remember Worms 3D?
Uh-uh. No, dude, I used to play Worms on my DS.
I used to play it on my PSP all the time.
So, Worms Rumble
is a... it's Worms, but it's not turn-based.
Can you imagine? Dude, I would love to do a Worms stream to this channel where like my is on like one side, your cam's on the other side, and it's both of our teams and it's turn-based and we're shooting the things at each other.
It's not this one isn't turn-based,
which sucks. They're going the Plants for Zombies route and making a third person shooter with Worms.
It's not third person.
No, I know, but
it's still 2D.
Did you play the Plants for Zombies? Oh, my headphones turned off, guys. Can I get an F? Oh. James, keep talking while I replace the battery on here, okay? You can just keep going through random fun stuff.
I actually played both of the Plants vs. Zombies games. I played Garden Warfare and I played the beta. Actually, I don't think I ever... No. I didn't buy the first one, but I think I got it free with PlayStation Plus or something like that. And so then I was telling the people...
James, talk to me.
I was telling the people...
We're back.
That I played both the first and second Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare.
Yeah.
I don't think I bought the first one. I think I got it like free somehow. I don't remember. Or got it cheap. It was actually a lot of fun.
Kind of fun.
I loved both of them.
They tried to go the Overwatch route with it by making each character like have different abilities and stuff. Kind of super fun. And then they had a third one called something else. Yes. Dude, I got to test it from EA because I keep on signing up for those testing things. So they sent me a code and I had 2 days where it like stayed on my PlayStation. Then it auto deleted itself. But I played it and it was pretty sick. It was buggy as hell though. But that was because it was like an early beta, but super dope.
That's you have to like write a report on it.
Yeah. You had to fill out questions. Cool. And then I got two free games after it. They send you, they're like, out of this list, what codes do you want for games? And then you just pick whatever games you want.
Wow. What'd you get?
For that one, I'm not sure. I think I got Sea of Solitude, which I still haven't played, and then Burnout Remastered.
Oh, fun. That's cool.
Haven't played that either, though. That's in the cellophane.
Next up, Rainbow Six Siege comes to PS5 and Xbox Series X December 1st with full next-gen upgrades, 4K resolution, 120 frames per second, higher detail, and improved lighting. They are really going all out.
I watched the little comparison video. Next gen. Looks nice, dude. Looks good. Because I think Rainbow Six aged quite a bit. Like, it looks very aged when you go back and look. It still looks aged, but it looks nice. It looks like it's a stylistic choice now instead of, like, looking aged on by accident. So.
Right.
Which is cool. And then Metro Exodus next gen version detailed coming 2021 as a free upgrade with faster frame rate, increased resolution, less loading times, and ray tracing. I've never like got Metro.
I tried to finish the first one and it was actually really good.
This game has a fan base, like a hardcore fan base.
Yeah, very niche audience, but they're very dedicated.
It's cool. It's good for them.
I want to play it. Yeah. I heard Metro Exodus is very depressing, but it's really good.
Well, it's about like the end of all everything, right? You're kind of like fighting your way through post-apocalyptic snow world first person.
Yeah.
But it's just a shooter. Like that's the thing that doesn't like pull me in. It's like there's no other elements of that game.
Yeah, there is.
I'm not sure what else it has.
Does it have like, I thought it had RPG elements.
Maybe it does, but I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. Metro fans, please tell me I'm wrong, that it's not just a first-person shooter. That's it. That's episode 42. We did 45 minutes. 42, that's longer than I thought. Thanksgiving episode, we popped off.
Yeah, we did great.
That was good. There wasn't any nail-biting news this week, that's for sure. But
no,
we'll get there. Some weeks are just like that. Thank you guys for hanging with us today in chat. If you're on YouTube, everybody, please go look in the description. I say this every time, but please hop into our Discord, our socials. We love to hang out with you guys off stream as well, like when we're not doing the shows too, because it's a great time. Yeah. Super fun. James streams right here on Twitch. I stream right here on Twitch. You can find our links right under there. Also, you also find Ryder and Luigi's links under there. Hang out, come follow, all that good stuff. We're vibing. Have a fantastic Thanksgiving. If your Thanksgiving was yesterday, I hope you're sleeping all day from your food coma that you had. Let's get it. 2 weeks till Cyberpunk. Strictly Casual will be live on Twitch on Monday for Keeping the Flow. We have a Miles Morales video coming pretty soon. We got a lot of stuff. Happening. We'd love to see it. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you so much. I'm going to roll that intro. Outro. Damn it. I did that last one too.
It's okay.
I'm just going to roll it. All right, here we go.